The whole idea behind Pesach is to go out of my limitation. Because Pesach is called the holiday of freedom. One can call it, it has many names. Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of Matzahs. It's called Chag HaPesach, the holiday of Pesach, which Pesach is the named over the Korban, the sacrifice. But really the holiday is called Chag HaChirut, the holiday of freedom. And this is the time of the year where I can go out of my limitation. Because the place where the nation of Israel left is called Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is, it's a country 700 kilometers from here. But Mitzrayim is more a state of mind, where I am. I can, and Mitzrayim comes from the word in Hebrew, Meitzar. Meitzar is a limit, something that limits me. And there's many different ways that I can be limited. Sometimes it's big things, like we mentioned before, different addictions, that it totally limits my functioning. I can't function without a certain substance or something in my life. But also a state of limitation is that something gets me upset and I can't control my anger. The fact that I can't control my anger, this is another state of limitation. And especially when it's something small. I'm not talking right now something big. Somebody stole $500,000 from you and you're angry. I'm talking about a little fly coming and going in front of your face and you're getting upset. This is another way of a limitation. What are you getting upset? The fly. So a state of limitations and anything that limits me, that I'm not free to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, I also have to make a big definition. What is this state of limitation and what is the definition of freedom? When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, right after Pesach, you ask now an average individual, what did Moshe Rabbeinu bring down from the mountain? Then they'll tell you, he brought down the Torah. Which is true, but he really brought something more profound. He brought down from the mountain freedom. And there's nothing more better than for a person to be free. It's the worst feeling not to be free. And you can be not free in a country, that the country locks you down. You can be not free that whatever the authorities are chasing you down. You cannot be free in a relationship. Sometimes you're stuck in a relationship and you're like a prisoner in that relationship. And you're not free. And sometimes it can be many other things that takes away your freedom. And there's no worse feeling than not having your own freedom to do whatever you want. Now, to do whatever you want, literally, that's really not freedom. That's just being, very immature and very reckless. Just to do whatever I want. That sounds like a teenager says, just leave me alone, let me do whatever I want. That's really not freedom. That's just being wild without any boundaries. The real freedom is that you are happy and that you are content. And nothing limits you. Nothing anchors you down into the ground. So last class on Sunday, we talked that I need to first recognize what limits me. And I said the very simple thing. You take a piece of paper and you write on the right side of the paper all your good character traits and all your good values and your good virtues and all the good things that you do and you have in you. And you have to be honest. You can't be arrogant here and start writing, I'm so amazing and I'm so great. But rather to write, I'm very charitable, I'm very kind, I'm quick to help, I don't judge so fast, I'm patient, whatever it is. You write all the things that you see that are good in you. A, so you can empower them. And more than that, so you can also see that I'm not such a loser when you start writing all the bad things. So there's a good balance. But right after you're done with that, you want to start writing all the bad things that you see in yourself. And here, in order to do it, you have to use the method of the cleaning. The cleaning, you said before, it's very inspiring and purifying. Cleaning also humbles you. Even if you're looking at something physical, you clean, you're on your hands and your knees, you're touching dirt. Sometimes the cleaning is, you have to clean, things that are not so nice. Dishes that are left in the sink for 3 days and other things that are They are not so pleasant to touch. So it's also humbling you. So in order for me to really see my bad points, I have to be humble. If I'm humble in the right way, then I will accept the criticism that's coming from all directions. But you know, sometimes the criticism from people is limited, because you can tell me that you see in me a fault, or you can tell me that you see in me a fault, but you don't see everything. You don't know what's my mind thinking about, and you don't know if I'm really lazy. I can pretend that I'm very not lazy, and really I am. And I can pretend that I'm very courteous or charitable, and I'm really not. So really the only one who knows is you. You're really the only one who knows where you would like to change. Now you can take it on a large scale and say, I'm knocking everything out. Or you can say, let me just go one step after the other, and I can't do too many things at the same time. That's why I suggest the list. You take a list and you write down in the list, first of all, your character traits. Like I said before, you can write, I'm lazy, I don't like being lazy, I'm messy, I don't like that I'm messy, I judge people right and left, I talk bad about people, I'm very judgmental, very quick to anger, I'm not patient, and so forth. But you run and write all the things that you see in yourself that you don't like. Now, if a person is very arrogant, then he's not going to see anything. He's going to say, no, I'm perfect. Everything's good here. There's nothing to work on. That already is the first sign that something's wrong. If you're saying everything is good, I have nothing to work on, there's a problem here.
Excuse me, do you mean that if I find and I see a lot in me that needs to be corrected, I am not arrogant?
No, I said that if you try to write down a list,
I understand,
and you don't find anything,
yeah, you are,
and you're saying, no, everything is good, I don't have to work on myself. No.
If I find a lot, then
it's normal. Then you're a normal human being. Then,
does that mean that I am not arrogant?
No.
No. It doesn't mean that.
No. If you find a whole list of things that you need to work on, there's the opposite of arrogant.
Yeah. So then, I'm not arrogant.
You're not arrogant. You're saying, okay. You're humble. You're saying, okay, look, I have 20 things that I have to work on. So I was saying, if you try to make a list, and you're thinking, and you're scratching this part, and you're scratching this part, and you're like, wow, I can't find anything wrong with me. This is a problem. But when you make a list, and you can find 3 things, 10, whatever it is, then you're normal. We all have bad things to work on. If you don't acknowledge the fact that you have faults, something's wrong here. Call it ego, call it arrogant, call it living in denial. You can call it however you want, but everybody has something to work on. Now, once I already recognized what's wrong, I already made an analogy. Okay, now I understand where I am, but how do I change it? How do I now start getting things off my list? Okay, I already recognized in me a few bad things. Good, now what? So, first of all, and most important, is that I have to see how long the list is. If the list only has 3 things, that's easy. If the list has 20 things, then I have to start putting it in the order of what is easiest to get rid of. Because the more that I clean the list, the more I get rid of things, it's easier for me to get over harder things. It's always good to start with the easy stuff, because once you master the easy stuff, it's easier to start refining things that are harder. If you have a serious issue with anger, and a lot of people, doesn't mean that the person is bad, it just means that they have an issue with anger. Either they're aggravated by something in this world, which people can be aggravated, people have sometimes issues with anger, and it has nothing to do necessarily with their neshama. It has to do with the fact that their nutrition is very bad. It aggravates their system. And they eat a lot of sugar, makes them all hyper and agitated. Or a person can be exposed to a lot of radiation. You can live very, very close to a cell phone tower, or you have your cell phone attached to you all day long. All day long you're on the phone and you're touching it. That's why I don't like these things, because you're holding it so many hours of the day. Now it's radiating. Some people, it will aggravate them. They'll be very upset. They don't even know why. So not always the problem is coming from the soul. Sometimes the problem is coming from my environment. And sometimes people have very stressful jobs. and they're under stress. They're under a lot of pressure. So the point is that first of all, you want to make sure that you're taking care of the easy things, the little things. Because when you master something small, it's easier to go to something big. If you put on the list one thing that you're saying that is a very hard thing to get rid of, not always is good to right away start with that. Better to start with the easy things. But either way you're looking at it, easy, not easy, it all depends. Because for one person, one can think can be easy, and the other person, it's not going to be easy. It depends on the individual. Each individual is completely, completely different. But the point is that I have to work with my list. And the first way how I start, so to say, canceling these bad things in me, whether it's habits, whether it's character traits, whether it's midot that are in me, my attributes, is by empower something that is the opposite. So if, for example, I have an issue that I'm stingy, I'm cheap. And I have to be humble to write that, because most people say, oh, I'm not cheap. I just gave last week 10 shekels to a poor man. So, which chas v'shalom, not making fun of anybody. Sometimes 10 shekels is a lot of money. But you have to be, again, humble. And if you find, you're saying, listen, I'm very cheap. It's hard for me to share my stuff. It's hard for me to share my space. It's hard for me to share my food or whatever, or my time. Then you balance it with doing specifically acts of charitable acts. And you want to balance it with whatever's on the other side. So if you have a problem with patients, then you're saying, okay, I'm going to make sure that I'm, not with patience, being lazy. So as you say, okay, I'm going to make sure that I'm waking up at a certain time that is very, very early. That every time that I have to do a certain task, I would do it right away. You want to balance it from the other side. And that's, you know, easy and practical. Just, of course, you have to have discipline. If you remember yesterday, before I said that you just do the beginning of the effort, Hashem already will help you. That's the idea when you're saying the verse, when you burn the chametz, that whatever I forgot, it should be like as if it doesn't exist. That's why Hashem says, you do an effort, I will help you. So this is one thing, is that I want to balance the other side. Whatever I see that is a problem, then I want to increase something that is completely the opposite. Now, of course, not always it works like that. That's why the next way, the next system, is just to reduce it. So if I have an issue with being very judgmental, so I will say, okay, I'm 10 times a day, I fail in that, then my goal right now is to reduce once. I will still 9 times fail, but one time I will go out of my way to control it. So, for example, a lot of people, they have a bad habit that they lie, and they don't even know why they're lying. Because there's no point in the lie. It's just like what people say, a white lie. There's no point in it. I'm not benefiting anything from it. So then I'm lying now to somebody, and I'm stealing their money. So, for example, when I became observant, I had a serious issue with lying. Everywhere that came out of my mouth was a lie. So I was like, okay, I gotta get rid of that. I don't want to. I don't want to be dishonest anymore. I don't like the fact that I have to distort the truth in many situations. So I would make sure that if I say 100 lies a day, then today I'm saying 99 lies. Mm-hmm. One time, I would look for the one that I can control and say, okay, here I'm not going to lie. The rest of the times, I'm not going to be so particular. But the point is to start reducing the damage, so to say. And then another approach that one needs to acquire is the knowing how to say to yourself no. Because why do I would be considered limited in a certain situation that I don't know how to sell to myself, to say to myself no? That's why when parents spoil their kids too much, it's very bad. They're messing the person up. Sometimes you see parents, I know you want to be nice to your kids, you want to give them things, but you're messing up their personality. And a spoiled kid becomes a spoiled adult. And a spoiled adult doesn't know how to deal with life. Why? Because that person doesn't know how to say to himself no. They know how to say no to everybody, but not to themselves. And you need to know how to say to yourself no. Because I have a certain motion that is called I want. That's why now all the technologies, iPhone and iMac and iPad and I this and I that and iTunes and I, because it's about me. I need to know how to cut this I. That is not going to be I want. Who cares what you want? Nobody's asking you what you want right now. You know, our kids every day, they come down in the evening, what's for dinner? Food. No, but what are we eating? We're eating food. But what? Doesn't matter. We're eating food. Say thank you, have food. Okay, we're eating so-and-so, but we had that 3 days ago. I think when I'm consulting you, when you and I were creating the menu in the house, say thank you that you're getting food. So the thing is that I need to put myself under discipline that I control the I want. And the I want is coming from a place of arrogance, a place of ego, that I want. I don't care what you want. I care what I want. It has to be my way. I need to know how to control my I want. Now, here it's what I'm talking right now is more practical things, but the essence, the power to that, that's the only way how you can actually achieve it, is that in your essence, you are ready to do that change. And this is all connected to Pesach, because Pesach is the time where you actually can apply that. Because really, why are we celebrating Pesach? One can argue and say we're celebrating Pesach because 3,400 years ago we went out of Egypt. Okay, that's the truth. We left Egypt. But why are we really celebrating Pesach? It's because on that day, on the 15th day of Nisan, 3,400 and some years ago, then Hashem came down to the world. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send any messenger. He says, Ani velo malach, ani velo saraf. We're going to read it in the Haggadah next week. He says, I came down. Hashem himself came down to the world, and he permeated a certain power in the world that any person and any generation in the future, in the present, will be able to go out of Mitzrayim, to go out of their limitation. Hashem has placed us in a world of limitations, because in the spiritual world, there's no limitations. It's spiritual. There's no boundaries. There's no size to anything. But Hashem says, okay, I want you to become out of limitation in a place of limitations. So I placed you in a world that everything is limited. How did Hashem create the world? He limited His godly light from shining in the world. This is called Tzimtzum. The Kabbalistic term is Tzimtzum, a contraction. You think Hashem removed Himself from the world? Hashem is here, and every corner of the world is full of the presence of Hashem. Hashem didn't remove Himself. He concealed Himself. He hid Himself. But He didn't remove Himself. Now that's taking something that is not limited and putting it in a place of limitation. This is called bli gvul, something without limitation, in a gvul, in something that is limited. And that's the whole idea. Hashem says, I want you to go to a high level. Therefore, let's see you going out of your limitation. I will put you in a state of limitation to see if you can climb out of that limitation. And what would you gain? You would gain freedom. And this is a game. I mean, after all, this whole world is a game. I mean, why do you think we came here? We definitely didn't come here to be on Facebook. We came here to the world to refine myself. And I work on myself, and I grow out of my limitation. And a successful individual, or I should say a happy individual, is a person that is not limited. And if I'm limited in one way or another, I'm not a happy person. At the end of the day, what is it all about? It's about being happy. We are a creature that wants to be happy. And if I'm not happy, then I'm sad, then I'm depressed, then I'm upset. And I will do anything in my power to be happy. Just that most people don't know what really brings them happiness. So they'll buy a cookie because they think the chocolate taste will make them happy. So they're happy for 3 minutes. And then they'll buy a new phone, so they're happy for another month. A dress, a nicer car, a vacation. So we're trying to constantly please ourselves. If you would know that whatever it is, the cookie or the new dress, is really not going to make you happy, so you're saying, why do I need another dress? I have like 40 of them. Why do I need another pair of shoes? I have already 10 pairs of shoes. What, another pair is going to make me happy? I'm not talking right now when you need something. You need shoes, you buy shoes. If you have 17 pairs, you don't need another one. You're just buying it because you're deep down inside, in a very not revealed way, you want to satisfy yourself. So we go to a restaurant, we see a movie, whatever it is. And again, I'm not saying that you have to live a life of poverty and suffer all day long. That's not what I'm saying. But we try to cushion our life with all sorts of things. Why? Because deep down inside there's a sadness. There's a void. Now some people, the sadness is out of control. And it comes in as depression or many other forms of sadness. And it's not in control. The person can't control themselves even. And sometimes it's not so bad. But nevertheless, most people are not really happy. When it comes, boils down to the end of the day, you know, when you measure the happiness, is that late at night when it's time to go to bed and you're lying in your bed and you cover yourself with a blanket, the phone is off, Facebook is you logged out, everybody's sleeping, and then the wheels start turning. Now, sometimes you can hear the squeaking of the wheels, and that's going to cause you not to fall asleep. And then it's midnight, and then it's 1, and then it's 2, and then it's 2:30, and you're thinking, and you're thinking, and you're thinking. So it doesn't matter what you're thinking of right now. That's the sign that your soul is not eased. It's not calmed down. It's bothered. And some people, just because of the sadness or the emptiness or the void, they fall asleep just because they don't want to deal with anything. So it's either you can't fall asleep or you can't wake up. Either way. But if it's not in the sleep, this is one form. If it's not in the sleep, there's going to be some type of outlet. So let me drink every day. And let me do this every day. And let me do that. That's basically different signs that the inside, I'm lacking one thing. It's happiness. I just want to be happy. We're a creature that's just looking for happiness. I don't care how the happiness comes. Inject now some type of dose of happiness to an individual, he's not going to run after all the rest of the junk of the world. Just that we don't know what brings me the happiness. And even if I do know that the physical things don't really bring me happiness, and I still pursue them, is because I don't know how to get the real happiness. The real happiness is when I'm free, when I'm not limited to anything. I'm not bound to anything. I'm not tied to anything in a way that puts me in a state of being confined and limited. So the time that I actually get charged with the power to go out of my limitations is Pesach. Every holiday has a certain character trait. That's why the words in Hebrew make much more sense. Holiday in Hebrew is chag. In English, it's a holiday. It's a vacation. It's just not doing something. But the word in Hebrew is chag. Chag means to go around in circles. So if you're looking at a clock, it has the hands in the clock. They start here and they go around and around and around. And they're always going to come back to the same point. This is called in Hebrew lachug. To go around in circles. Now, why the holidays are called the circle? Because you go a whole year round. Every day there's a certain shine coming down to the world. You can call it an energy. You can call it however you want to call it. But every day Hashem uses a certain color. Not a color what we relate with. I'm calling it colors because it's different shades or shapes. Every day there's a new energy in the world. Every day is different. It's actually every hour and every minute and every second. Every moment Hashem is changing the energy. Every day is completely different. We spoke about it a few weeks ago when I asked how many hours are in the day. And everybody failed at that question when I asked how many hours in the day. Because everybody said 24 hours. No. And there's not. It's 12 hours in the day. There's 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night. Mm. So every hour within the 24 hour, which is half a day, half a night, every hour, a different combination of Hashem's name, which is manifested into a certain he'ara, godly shine, is used to create the world. That's why physically, the light that you see at 6 a.m. and the light that you see at 8 a.m. is different light. So how it would affect? So the sky will be less blue, or more bright, or less bright. We attribute it to the fact that the sun is just moving. But really, it's because every hour, the name of Hashem, a different combination of letters are forming the energy that creates the world. So every moment things change. Same thing with every day. Every day has a certain energy. How come not every day is Pesach? That we're going to have to ask Hashem when Hashem comes and appears very soon when Mashiach is going to come. We can ask him question. How come only once a year we have a Pesach? So, but nevertheless, you're right. You can say once a year there's a Pesach, once a year there's a Purim, once a year there's Sukkot. But you know what? Every month there's a Rosh Chodesh. It's another type of a festival. And every week there's a Shabbat. So we do have things that, days or times that come more often, and sometimes that come less often. And there's a reason for that. One of the many reasons is because something comes too often, you tend to abuse it. Or you tend to get used to it and you don't take advantage of it. Something expensive comes once in a blue moon. Something cheap will come all the time. How often do you go to have a beautiful meal in a fancy restaurant? Once a year, it's a birthday, everybody's going out. Why aren't you going every day? It's expensive, I can't afford it. So, or if I would go every day, let's say I do have the ability to afford it. If I would do every day, then it's not going to be exciting anymore. If you do the same thing every day, what's the excitement? Now you need a new excitement. So once a year Pesach comes. Now we attribute Pesach to eating matzot, to cleaning the floor, not to eating chametz. This is not what Pesach is about. Pesach is about going out of Egypt. And Pesach is about connecting to the energy of the week, especially for the day of Lel Seder, that energy, when I feed from it, it will give me a certain energy. If you're going to eat oranges, you'll get vitamin C. If you're going to eat carrots, you'll get vitamin A. You'll eat this, you'll get some type of a mineral, whatever it is. So I get connected to Pesach. It will give me the energy of going out of my limitation. Doesn't matter what level of limitation it is. That's why we prepare by cleaning and preparing and everything. So I need to take the mystical part of it that I have to connect to Pesach. But I also have to take the physical part of it, is that I have to prepare and saying, what is my wish list? My wish this year is to quit smoking. My wish this year is not to be so angry. And my wish this year is not to be so judgmental, or I want to have more energy. Whatever it is, I have to make a wish list. Because when I have a wish list, it's when I switch something in my mind. That's why I specifically say, write it down. Don't do it in your mind. It doesn't have the same effect. When you write it down, you actually putting into the existence of the world. And you want to make a switch in your mind, because you can't get rid of something bad if you don't really want to. How do you get rid of something? Is when you really want to. So the point is that I have to work on both terrains. I have to work on the spiritual part. When Pesach comes, I have to focus myself. I have to align myself with this energy. How do I align myself? I observe the holiday. That's it. Hashem says that you don't have to work so hard. Just observe the holiday. Don't work or drive or do anything for 24 hours or 48 hours if you live outside of Israel. Just follow the rules of the holiday. This year it's easy because it falls on Shabbat. So it's just observing the Shabbat. The holiday and the Shabbat is the same thing. The difference between a Yom Tov, a festival, and Shabbat is that on festival we're allowed to cook. That's it. And only allowed to cook for the sake of eating, not cooking for fun. But nevertheless, how do I tap into the light? Observe the holiday. And above that, our sages said you want to make sure you're tapping into the light, then follow the Lel Seder. I know to the most people it's boring, it's long, it's reading a lot of text, I'm starving. So eat in the afternoon. If you think you're going to be hungry in the Lel Seder, so eat in the afternoon. What's the big deal? If you think you're going to be tired, so take a nap in the afternoon. But you want to take advantage of these 5, 6, 7 hours of the Lel Seder that you follow everything you read. I know, in the beginning for me, it was also very boring. I couldn't stand the Lel Seder, reading this whole book. I don't want to read a book now. I want to eat. But Lel Seder is not about eating. It's about reading. It's about connecting to this energy. But needless to say, I have to make also the switch in my mind. It will not work if I didn't make the switch in my mind, that I actually apply it. And the way to do it is, like I told you, you have to acknowledge your downfalls, your bad character traits. And you want to start working on it. And you start working on it before Pesach, not after Pesach. That you make the list and you're saying, okay, I want to work on my anger. Okay, so let me now reduce the anger. Like I said before, A, you want to empower something from the other end. So you start working on the fact that you want to be calm. You calm yourself down, whatever it takes. You take a nap, you meditate, you whatever it is. Or you have to also change your your diet that might be aggravating you, your closeness to radiation, and many other things. But then I also have to say, okay, let me reduce it. Everything that I'm saying, I used to do myself. So if it was working on myself lying, so I said, okay, today, my goal today is to stop myself twice from lying. Everything else, if I can, good, if not, not. And I would go out of my way that I would see I'm about to lie. I would say a lie, right away I would correct it. Or if I would say I had an issue, a serious issue with anger, then I would say, okay, the next time something angers me, I would go completely out of my way. I would not burst into anger. I would right away make a U-turn, go into the room and calm myself down. Say, no, you can't get angry right now. And I would control myself. And this is basically cutting off this I want. I want to get angry right now. I want to misbehave in whatever is limiting me. And needless to say, then you have to let Hashem do His part. But the point is that we want to focus on where we are holding in the time of the year. It's a very auspicious time. It's a time to really reflect and to say, okay, I want to change. Why? Because I'm not happy with where I am. I'm not happy with my faults. And you know what? I also have to practice here a big mitzvah that is called Ahavat Yisrael. If I have an issue with anger, my wife suffers. My kids suffer. If I have an anger with issue with anything else, everybody around me suffer. So I have to also do it not only for myself, for everybody around me. Needless to say, the main change has to be done in my mind, and then I have to use the powerful energy of Pesach, and that allows me to go out of my Egypt, to be free. That's why we start the Haggadah by saying Avadim Ayinu. Ayinu. We were slaves. But to who? We were slaves to Paro. Paro, I told you already, he was the king of Mitzrayim, but Paro has the same letters of the word in Hebrew, Parua. Parua is wild. No boundaries, no limitations. I do whatever I want. Paro also has the same letters in Hebrew, Hafra'a. Hafra'a is something that disturbs me, gets me out of my focus. So I was a slave for being wild. In Paro, I was a slave to being distracted. Now they call it ADD. There's no such a thing as ADD. Just stop eating sugar. You're not going to have ADD. People are, inventing all sorts of words. What, 40 years ago, I was in school 40 years ago, there wasn't such a thing as ADD. Suddenly it came to the universe. No, because when we were kids, I didn't eat sweets all day long. I grew up on oranges and cucumbers and tomatoes. No, I didn't grow up on Bisley and Bamba and all this junk and Cheetos, whatever it is. You know, the school where we send my kids, they have a rule there. You can't send the kids with treats. Because the principal says, if you're going to feed your kid in the morning, Choco is this chocolate, this sweet chocolate milk, and you're going to give the child a few other things full of sugar, then the child will be like this. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just, you injected a lot of sugar into his system, so of course he can't pay attention. And he's all like, you know, he can't be focused. I didn't have that when we were kids. We didn't have ADD 40 years ago. Maybe I had a different definition to it. The point is that I need to know how to control my environment. So with that said, only left is to wish you is success, and to understand that I want to be free. And that's why we start the Haggadah, that's what I was saying, we start the Haggadah by saying, Avadim ayinu leParo, we were slaves to Paro, because Paro is no boundaries. Paro is no limitations, no control on anything. And where? Bemitzrayim. That's what the verse says, that's how we start the Haggadah. Avadim ayinu leParo Bemitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro in Egypt, in a place of a limitation. And a limitation in Hebrew, the word that it's using is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a meitzar, something that is limit. And meitzar, if you break it in half, is tzar. Tzar is narrow, tzarut. That there's no spacious. There's no what's called merchavim, that it's broad and comfortable. So I'm basically becoming uncomfortable in my own environment. And that's what's going to cause a person to become aggravated and sad and depressed and no sense of hope and low self-esteem and all these things. It's coming because I'm narrow. I'm confined into things that limit me, and I'm the one who's responsible to that. I'm the one who can say, no, enough is enough. I don't want to be that. And it can be done, because I went out of my Mitzrayim. Now it's going to be my my birthday soon, my spiritual birthday, 17 years ago. It happened, my near-death experience happened on Pesach. That's when it happened. That's when I made my change. And I came from the dirt of the world with any type of limitation you can imagine, any type of addiction. I was addicted to anything that moved, cigarettes, coffee, drugs, anything. And I was like, that's it. I'm not letting anything in this world control me in any type of a way. I'm not going to be slave to a cigarette. I'm not going to be slave to money. I'm not going to be slave to nothing. And 17 years, Baruch Hashem. So, no, don't say you have 17 years to go, because you can do it quick. Hashem can assist you. The point is that the switch has to be in your mind. Nobody can do it for you. And you are the one who has to go through the gate. And the only way is when you make a switch in your mind. And the reason why I was able to quit so many things that I was so hooked on is because the switch was in the mind. I was like, I'm never smoking. I don't want to smoke. You know why I couldn't quit smoking for years? Because I loved it. I loved sitting and smoking and having a cup of coffee and whatever it was, whether it was a beer or what, sitting with a cigarette, shooting rings. Oh, I knew how to shoot rings real good. I was real good with the rings. And you know, the whole pose and the... I liked it. I actually liked it. That's a bigger state of limitation. That's the denial that you actually like something. And that's where you have to make a switch in your mind. Yeah. Forget about shorten your life. You know how expensive it is. When I started smoking, a backpack of cigarette was like a shekel and 15 agorot, something like that. Now it's 40 shekels. 40 shekels. Imagine you smoking 2 packs a day, 80 shekels a day. That's like almost 4,000 shekels a month for cigarettes. That's insanity. Just because of that, I would not smoke.
2 people giving for a week.
But anyways, the point is that I have an opportunity to take advantage of Pesach. Don't let it pass. This is a once in a year opportunity to tap into this power where I do get the unbelievable energy to go out of my limitation. And it doesn't mean that Pesach passes and that's it, I'm a... everything, but no, but I have the will and the power and the desire to really fight my struggles. I have to be able to fight it. And of course, the preparation is much more important. And the preparation, we physically clean, but start physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and mentally clean myself. I have to start writing all my faults and everything that I just said. No point of repeating it. So, Bezrat Hashem, put your mind to it. I can guarantee to you, Hashem can do anything He wants. Hashem can take a person from one side of the universe to the other side of the universe. But you have to have the will. You have the will, Hashem was going to make anything happen. And you know what's the most important result here? Is that you become happy. You become a happy person. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank. Doesn't matter anything that's going on in your life. You're happy. You wake up in the morning... you go to sleep, you fall asleep right away. People don't fall asleep because they're not happy. They're not calm. So you want to be happy, and I wish you to be happy and only to have happiness. Mezrat Hashem, take advantage of it. Take the words, internalize them. A video will be posted online probably in a couple of hours. Go and watch the video 4, 5, 16 times, as much as you need, so you can internalize everything and apply it. And needless to say, the one who's going to gain the most from it is only you. It's only left to wish you a successful journey and a happy and a kosher Pesach.